Theodore Finch stands on his school's bell tower ledge contemplating suicide, not for the first time. When he spots popular Violet Markey on the opposite side, also considering the six-story drop, everything changes. In a twist that defines their relationship, Finch talks Violet down, but allows everyone to believe she saved him. This moment connects two broken teenagers in ways neither could anticipate. Finch, labeled the school freak, battles undiagnosed bipolar disorder he privately calls being asleep and awake. His home life is fractured by an abusive, absent father and an emotionally distant mother. Violet, once a cheerleader and writer with NYU Dreams, has abandoned everything since her sister Eleanor's death 9 months earlier. When their geography teacher assigns a project to wander Indiana's natural wonders, Finch claims Violet as his partner, beginning a journey that forces both to confront their demons and rediscover life's beauty.
I've got a map in my car that wants to be used, and I think there are places we can go that need to be seen, Finch tells Violet, establishing the philosophy for their wanderings. Their explorations follow three rules: no phone navigation, alternating destination choices with nothing ordinary allowed, and leaving something behind at each site. Their first wandering takes them to Hoosier Hill, Indiana's unimpressive highest point at just 1,257 feet. When Violet dismisses the landscape as ugly, Finch challenges her perspective. We're looking at the same thing in the exact same place, but we're seeing different things. This becomes their pattern, Finch helping Violet see beauty in overlooked places. They visit a bookmobile park of vintage trailers housing different book genres, a giant chalkboard wall where people write bucket list dreams, and the Purina Tower overlooking their sleeping town. Through these explorations, Violet slowly emerges from grief. She begins riding in cars again, starts writing, and contemplates reviving her literary magazine as Germ, something that could grow and develop.
While Violet blossoms, Finch battles increasingly severe mood swings. During manic, awake periods, he overflows with energy, reinventing himself as 1980s Finch, British Finch, or badass Finch in leather. He writes songs, repaints his room, and pursues Violet with intensity. These highs crash into devastating, asleep lows, where he retreats to a closet fort papered with affirmations to fight his darkest thoughts. His behavior grows erratic. He attacks a classmate who calls him a freak, resulting in expulsion. Secretly, he attends a support group for suicidal teens and once swallows sleeping pills before forcing himself to vomit. Though he maintains a facade around Violet, cracks emerge. In one vulnerable moment, he confesses, "I'm not the Finch you think I am. There's another one who isn't so good." When Violet discovers his suicide attempt, their confrontation leaves Finch feeling exposed. He disappears the next day, taking his guitar and notebooks, but leaving cryptic messages behind.
The Blue Hole, a mysterious 3-acre lake rumored to be bottomless, serves as the novel's most powerful metaphor. Finch takes Violet there on the first warm winter day, bringing swimming goggles he left on her doorstep weeks earlier. They dive into the crystalline water in their underwear, an experience that proves transformative for Violet. The cold shock mirrors her emotional awakening, while the depths reflect her unprocessed grief. When Finch stays underwater too long, Violet's panic reveals her terror of losing someone else she loves. After he resurfaces, she finally unleashes years of anger about Eleanor's death, breaking through her emotional numbness. This catharsis leads to their first intimate moment, with Finch declaring, "I love you, ultraviolet remarkable." The Blue Hole represents both danger and liberation. For Violet, the depths of grief, but also healing's possibility. For Finch, the peaceful oblivion he craves. Water imagery flows throughout. Finch's ritual baths, timing how long he can hold his breath, his descriptions of depression as being pulled down, creating a premonition of his eventual fate.
As their relationship deepens, Violet's parents forbid her from seeing Finch, viewing him as troubled and dangerous. This rejection triggers Finch's deepest fears of abandonment, echoing his father's abuse.
Their relationship continues in secret, stolen moments at school, clandestine meetings, late-night messages. During one forbidden visit, Violet discovers Finch's room stripped bare, except for his closet fort, revealing his deteriorating mental state. Though alarmed, she keeps his secret, fearing betrayal of his trust. The novel explores how love can be both healing and insufficient. Violet rediscovers herself through loving Finch, but her love cannot save him from his mental illness. As he tells her, "I'm not Eleanor. Just because you couldn't save her, don't try to save me." Their beautiful but doomed love story is marked by the intensity of two people recognizing each other's pain. When Finch disappears, he leaves Violet with cryptic messages she can only decode after his death, suggesting he foresaw his fate. After Finch's suicide, Violet faces the agony of being left behind. The school's response is particularly painful. Students who once mocked Finch now wear black armbands and build memorial shrines, their posthumous embrace striking Violet as hollow. Phantom sightings haunt her. She glimpses him everywhere, triggering both hope and fresh grief. While the world continues, Violet feels permanently altered, existing in a reality where time stopped with his death. The novel portrays grief's messy, non-linear nature. Violet grapples with unanswerable questions. Could she have seen it coming? Were there signs she missed? Her emotions swing between anger, guilt, and longing. Yet amid devastation, she finds purpose completing their Wander Indiana project. Following Finch's marked map, she discovers he left farewell gifts at each location, intimate tokens of their shared experiences. Violet leaves her own mark alongside his, creating a dialogue transcending death. The journey ends at Taylor Prayer Chapel, where Finch's final gift awaits, an original composition whose lyrics help Violet understand that though brief, their love was real and transformative. In the novel's final pages, Violet returns to the blue hole where Finch drowned. She approaches the water with determination, diving deep with open eyes, a powerful metaphor for accepting loss while remaining engaged with life. She creates an epitaph for Finch. "Theodore Finch, I was alive. I burned brightly. And then I died, but not really." These words capture how those we love continue influencing us after they're gone. Violet heals by continuing what Finch started, seeing the extraordinary in ordinary places and rediscovering her voice through writing. She embraces life's unpredictability and carries forward Finch's outlook. "The great thing about this life of ours is that you can be someone different to everybody." The novel presents grief not as something that resolves, but as something we weave into who we become. Violet will always carry Eleanor and Finch with her, but she's no longer defined solely by their absences. As she observes, "It's not what you take, it's what you leave." This transforms her from someone who once wanted to disappear into someone who actively chooses to live fully, despite, perhaps because of, everything she has lost.